The Loose Cannons podcast is a free-form discussion about film that contains mature language,
such as poop and titty,
and descriptions of mature situations,
such as filing taxes and raising children.
We do not have any concern for spoilers, so if you haven't seen the film or films we are discussing and don't want to have the twists ruined for you, please watch the film before listening to the podcast.
Just watch out. Sometimes movie talk, it's just a come on.
Hey everyone, it's another Loose Cannons minisode coming at you. I'm diving in slow motion as I'm doing my finger guns. Doves are flying between me and Basil. We're going to be discussing 2018's new John Woo movie, Manhunt.
Yeah, first movie in like a decade.
That's what I was referencing. This is Ruben, and as I said, this minisode is just me and Basil today. And since it's a minisode, no herald announcements, jump right into the plot of this movie, and I'll keep it real short. The main character is a lawyer for a very large drug firm, and one day he wakes up in bed with a murdered woman in his bed, and when he calls the police, they try to frame him for this murder that he did not commit. And he spends the rest of the movie trying to avoid assassins and cops who are trying to manhunt him, as the title implies, and clear his name. There are more intricacies to the plot than that, but if I were to explain them all, it would be like a big, long 10-minute spiel about everything that happens.
So, yeah.
Basil, what do you think of this movie?
I didn't like this movie. I think early on there was some kind of like Hitchcocky elements to the like police procedural stuff that I was like kind of into. I was like, oh, this is kind of like De Palma or Hitchcock. This is kind of fun. But, as the movie went on, kind of lost some interest in most of that. There's a lot of action in the movie. Some of it is okay, but most of the gunfights, I never stopped being distracted by the CGI bullet tracer things. Like, it made me feel like I was watching like a weird video game a lot of the time. So, it was definitely impeding my ability to enjoy the woo-ness of it. And then had some other issues, but we could get into that as we start. What about you?
I also did not like this movie, but I'll start off talking about what I did like about it. Hold on, let me download a cricket noise to my phone. It's nothing. I didn't like anything about this movie. Nice. It's my least favorite movie that I saw this year so far.
Wow. Suck it, Annihilation. Our two person, minisodes have a bad track record so far.
Fifty Shades Freed ruled, at least in comparison to these movies. I guess this is a shameful admission on my part. I don't think I've ever really liked John Woo's action in the way that he choreographs it. Just in his some of his other movies, the ones that I enjoy, he goes to such bonkers places that I enjoy the movie beyond the setup. But this story is very convoluted and boring and seems like someone just like picked up like a bad cheap dime store novel and made it into a movie. And if it didn't have John Woo's name attached to it, it's hard for me to believe that it ever would have gotten made.
Right.
Or that anyone would like or pretend to like it.
Yeah, auteurism's strong with this one, it seems like. Yeah. Although, you know, I mean, the main review that I've read so far, I haven't really checked that much on Letterboxd, is David Ehrlich's, which is 3 stars, which is basically like a thumbs down from him. Like, he's always like, you know, oh, there's stuff to like about this, but every time I read a 3-star review from him, it seems like he actually really doesn't like it, but he's just being nice for some reason.
In my entire friends list is all 3 and 3.5 stars and 1.4. There's not a single negative review right now. Ours will be the first two.
Yeah, boom. In your face, Manhunt. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing about the plot. Like, when it first starts out, it seems fairly straightforward. But then, as it goes, there's, like, a whole bunch of, like, supposed commentary on, like, human trafficking in Southeast Asia and also, like, big pharmaceutical companies. And I was like, this plot has no, like, justification for being as, like, complicated as it is. Like, it's not actually saying anything interesting about any of those topics. And, like, even just, I was like, this is just an excuse for a bunch of different set pieces where people shoot at each other. You could get there a lot more directly than this.
Yep. They could have just stuck with remaking The Fugitive, which is what a lot of this feels like, but...
For sure.
They added a bunch of stuff.
Like a super drug that makes you really strong.
Like going to the place where they were supposed to get married with that one woman, but then her husband killed himself, but then it turns out that he didn't kill himself, he was assassinated. And it's like all these flashbacks, and then... while he's interrupting her to be like, the story is not as you heard. It's me referencing Patrick. They get shot at again because they're like, oh, we don't actually have anything to say about anything. So whenever a scene goes on for too long, someone has to shoot at someone else. People start to notice how bad the dialogue is.
Yeah. And, maybe it had to do with, like, the financing of the movie, but I think that the Japanese Hong Kong, like, crossover elements, like, don't have any reason to exist either. And, like, because one of the main characters is from Hong Kong and the other's from Japan, and neither speaks the other's language, they spend a lot of the movie talking in English, and their acting really suffers as a result. I feel like it's neither of them seem like they've it feels a little like they're just like reading the stuff off a prompt, because it's not their native tongue. It's hard to act in a language that's not your first language.
For sure. So I think there are a lot of obvious things that are kind of bad about the movie. Like we mentioned, the plot is convoluted. It has too many elements to it, and they're not really well explained. And at certain points, it seems like they weren't 100% sure where they were going with it. There's a scene where the dirty cop goes to see the head of the pharmaceutical company. And this is a scene where we as an audience, we had our suspicions, but where it's confirmed that he's the bad guy in charge of it all. He has him murdered in front of his son. And his son acts kind of shocked. And like it seems like at the time, the way that the scene reads is like the son didn't know what was going on. But the son murdered that woman that starts the whole story, we find out later. And so it feels like, oh, is he just shocked because that guy was part of the group? Like, it seems like he shouldn't be shocked in retrospect.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And also, it's a thing with, I guess, you know, maybe plausibility in general, but, like, the main pharmaceutical dude, it seems impossible that no one realizes that he's, like, a supervillain like, even before this movie starts, because, like, he just, like, murdered, like, the cop kind of, like, tries to blackmail him, and then he just, like, has him murdered in that scene, and I'm just like, is this what he's always doing to people? Like, is he just, is there, like, multiple murders have happened in this office? Like,
they have a huge prison in their lab where they keep people that they round up on the street.
They sure do. Yeah, that's the other thing. And, like, everyone knows that that's what it's for. They're like, oh, all these people are volunteering to go do testing for money at Tengen Pharmaceutical. And then none of them ever come back, though. And then that's
that. They got a lot of money.
Yep. Like, in, what's it, in The Running Man, where they're showing the people that, like, the Running Man game, and then the one twist is that they didn't actually win, and it was, like, this canned thing of them, like, off in Hawaii, like, oh, I'm really enjoying my Running Man winnings, or whatever.
Yeah, so what I was, like, I kind of got off a bit, but, like, what I was starting to say is that, yeah, there are the, I think, obvious reasons to dislike it, and I think some people just look past that type of stuff. Sure. With genre-type films, which is fine. I mean, I do it myself, even though I found it a lot more distracting in this film, obviously, than in some others. But there's also some really gross stuff in this movie, like some lionization for policemen. I laughed out loud when he, the first scene with the policeman, when he saves the kidnapped boy from the two criminals who are apparently desperate for fame or something. That's how he gets the drop on them, is because he has, like, a camera, and he's, and they're like, you're going to broadcast us to an international audience? I'm like, what is this guy's plan? Like, is their plan just to be famous? It doesn't seem like if that guy's a reporter that they're going to get anything or get away with it. Why is being broadcast good? But I just want to say one thing before you go, which is when they're, after he saves the boy and they're walking out, the little boy is like, I want to grow up to be a policeman one day. The cop is like, no matter what you do, do it to the end. Something like that. When you have an obligation, you must do it. And I'm like, this is all horrible advice. And I hate movies that lionize cops.
Yeah, the weirdest thing about that, I think they just, like, mention it briefly in passing before, is, like, that those guys are, like, protesting the government or something like that. That's like why they want to be on TV, because they're like trying to get their cause. So, like, I mean, I guess they're so they're like I guess violent revolutionaries, which, given like how extremely right-wing Japan's government is right now, seems like fine to me. Like, it seems really weird to be like, these are the worst people ever. The cops are great.
They're the American equivalent of Black Lives Matter protesters, but they've just been ridiculously stereotyped into, like,
hyperbolized.
Yeah.
It's a child kidnapper slash murderers.
And then there's another scene later with the cop. The cop is the most problematic character, in my opinion, where he's, like, Sherlocking, which I guess is the best way to say it. He's not doing any actual, like, detectiving. He's just, like, in his own mind, like, imagining things. Right. And it's cutting back and forth between, like, the potential memories of what happened and then, like, real life with his assistant. And then you find out that while he's doing this, he's just, like, joking his assistant to death, who's screaming and crying. Never comes back to it. She just still likes him for the rest of the movie. Never confronts him about the fact that he assaulted her.
Yeah, I thought that they were supposed, like, it was supposed to be that they were, like, acting it out together as part of her training or something like that, but it's still, like, weird how committed she is, or if that's what's happening. Like, it's uncomfortable either way.
Yeah, like, if you don't include the part at the end where she seems, like, very visibly upset about what happened, I'll be like, okay, that's a weird scene that I didn't like, but, like, obviously, the relationship between them is whatever. I don't support it, but I understand in the context of... But when you play it like it really hurt her, and then she never addresses it, it's very upsetting to me.
Yeah. pretty uncool John Woo. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff with women in this that's real bad. Like, the whole, you know, like, killer team of female assassins or whatever.
Their relationship is very sitcom-y and very annoying. Like, mm-hmm. every time that both of them are, like, a single one of them is, like, tolerable, but when they're together, I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, like, when she can't shoot the manhunted guy, the lawyer,
I think his name is Doju, but...
Oh, yeah. And then the other woman's like, oh, I guess I have to do everything myself, like always, and then, like, takes the gun away from her.
I wrote that line down, too, because especially, like, they have no established relationship at that point, mm-hmm. so... That line is already cliche, but it's cliche now without even any context. Like, we've never seen her take care of the other one. The one scene we saw of them together, or no, there's two scenes we saw of them together. One where together they killed all those people, and then the other one where she gave her drugs.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty ridiculous. And, yeah, and, I mean, obviously the other sort of through line of that is that she's just in love with the lawyer because they had, like, a nice conversation about movies that one time. And then, but then, like, because they kind of are doing all the pairing off at the end mm-hmm. with the cop with his assistant, and then the woman whose, fiancé was murdered, like, they just, like, kill off the extra woman, because it's like, well, that makes it less thorny, it's less awkward, and then she has a sad dying scene where she talks about how this is what always happens in old movies.
There's a love triangle, one of them gets murdered to get them out of the way, and then everyone forgets about them as soon as they're off screen.
Mm-hmm.
They're just that was the ending of Johnny Guitar, right?
Yep. Taking that train to the country again, or to go live in her, like, super fucked up farmhouse, I guess.
Where all her family members and, workers just randomly can shoot guns.
Yep, and most of them got murdered.
Yeah. Oh, right, this is the site of a horrible crime. Why would I ever want to go back here?
Multiple horrible crimes because of her fiance. It's weird that she lived there that whole time, too.
And, of course, when they find that piece of evidence that's important to the whole plot of the movie about the formula, they just find it randomly. They're like, what's this door? Oh, a secret door? There's something back
what's
here?
What's in here?
Like, fantastic writing.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean... Yeah, that's one of the things that, like, very needlessly convolutes it, because it's like, oh, we have this, like, weird MacGuffin, and then they're after it. And, but, like, by the time that's introduced, there's only, like, 25 minutes of the movie left or something. So it's like, we don't need more convoluted plot. The movie's almost over.
It's true.
We're fine.
It's a very relevant comment, although from a Ruben time perspective, it felt like there was about an hour left.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, I watched this movie in a couple different parts because of that. It's like, but it's one of the beauties of Netflix. Just eat breakfast during a bad movie and stop it for a little bit and watch it later.
The aesthetics of this movie are quite bad. There's a part when he meets with, I don't even know who that older guy is that he cares about.
He's just like a random guy from the...
disinvested to like try to figure that out. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, this is what always happens in these movies, is that they have some friend or whatever who's able to help them out in hard times. So that's this guy. I don't know what the relationship is, but like,
when I think it's just supposed to be a stranger, like just a stranger who happens to also speak Cantonese and is nice to him, doesn't trust the cops, which is fair.
When they first run into each other, it does, like this sweet music with, like, a still frame montage. But it's not even a real... Because they have no relationship. It's not a real montage. It's just shots from those 5 seconds of them meeting. Like,
right.
Him, like, looking down and, like, the other one smiling or whatever. And I was like, this would almost be a parody. Like, mm-hmm. if I didn't think, you know, this was taking itself seriously.
For like, sure. Yeah, I actually didn't mind that part just because, like... I was like, oh, this level of, like, weird corniness, like, I haven't seen in movies in a long time. Like, John Woo used to do stuff like that a lot, and then it fell out of fashion, and I kind of liked that he's like, nah, I still like that, I'm gonna do it. Like, even if people don't like it, I like it. But yeah, I didn't like a lot of the other aesthetic stuff about it. Like, I don't know if this is his first time shooting digital, but... It has, like, a really bad, like, antiseptic digital look to it, which was very distracting to me because, like, that's one of the things I really like about old John Woo movies. They have that, like, kind of, warm 30... Like, he really leans into the kind of warmth that you can get from 35 millimeter. So it was very weird to see him go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, the... very beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It looks like a gross video game or something like that. Like, it's, like, kind of pretty, but also kind of ugly. It has, like, it looks like a cutscene or something like that. But then as soon as, like, humans were introduced to the picture, I was like, oh, I don't like looking at this anymore. And I don't think it was intentional. Like, I don't think he was making, like, a weird video game movie.
Yeah. Yeah, my one thing I thought it was pretty fun, or not fun exactly, but weird. There's like a part where they're all at a party that's like in this at the top of this high rise, and there's all these shots like going above it and like outside of it and stuff like that, and it's supposed to look pretty cool. But I was thinking like, oh, this is a weird thing where like, if you were at that party, the coolest thing about it you wouldn't be able to experience unless somebody like filmed the party with like a drone outside and then you could watch it later. Because I was like, this looks really cool looking at the top of a building with like a big party happening on it, but if you're inside then you're just like looking at the rest of the city, you can't even see how cool you look.
The party is so square, by the way, like literally square. They start doing group dancing at one point and I was like, what? It's John Woo's conception of a party. He's a rich man, right? He's been to a party before.
Maybe that's just what it's like in Osaka. Rich people party hard and do synchronized dancing.
With, like, almost no food around. And no one's on any drugs. Has John Woo ever done any drugs? Because the drug effects in this movie are
bad.
Yeah. Pulled from another era.
Just like shimmering of the camera.
Yeah, the part when it's like it's slightly behind, like it's two images overlaid, but like slightly behind. So like you have their hand moving and then like a slightly faded version of their hand moving behind it. Awesome.
Never been done before.
I think I knew I was going to really dislike this movie when there was a jet ski chase and I didn't care. Because I like jet skis so much. They're so funny. They're like the stupidest vehicle in the world. And I love them. Like, I just watched the remake of Overboard, and there's a scene at the beginning of just two women in bikinis on jet skis that look like they're in like a cigarette ad or something like that, like waving and nodding at each other. And I was like, man, I love watching people on jet skis. But in this movie, I was like, I hate this jet ski scene.
Yeah. It's very incomprehensible. That was a time when I was like I even, I think it started when I was eating. So then I was like, oh, I feel like I'm missing something. So like, I stopped eating and I kind of went back a little bit because I was like, I feel like I'm not into this.
That was a mistake.
Chase at all. Yeah. I didn't go back that far, but I was like, let me see if I can like be more involved in paying attention to this. But then I just started tuning out and eating right away again because I was like, oh no, I wasn't actually missing anything. It's impossible to follow and has like weird CGI stunts that look really silly, like jumping over a thing, and one is jumping over the other, but it's clearly just like a matted image. So I was like, oh, that's not impressive now.
Continuing our trend of making jokes about video games, John Woo played a lot of Wave Race 64.
Yep. What a great game.
They're releasing the Nintendo 64, and they're like, all right, we need some great games to platform launch this. Super Mario, that's a classic. Gotta do that. This game about Sea-Doos. That's what we need.
People are gonna love it.
Couple small notes. How sad you're supposed to be when her wedding dress gets shot after all those people died.
Yeah.
It's like, no, now the dream is really over. And it's like, your fiance is dead. I think that was the point at which it was sad.
Yeah. Yep. The part when his head rested on your white wedding dress and soaked it with blood. That's the end. Just gotta let go of the past now. Move on to this new cool lawyer guy.
Mm-hmm. The part when the main guy has been kidnapped by the drug company, and like he yells at them like angrily, he's like, "You're murderers!" And I'm like, "Yeah, but they're like really embracing that fact. Like they're not gonna be insulted. They're like, oh no, how dare he say that about us?" It's like, should have been like, "You're short" or something.
Yeah.
If he wants to make them mad.
That's true. Yeah, I think once you're, like, kidnapping homeless people and then you, like, turn one into, like, a super monster and then just set them free to kill all the other ones, like, you're really, really unconcerned about, like, the morality of...
another part that's almost unintentionally funny is this. They start doing a bunch of flashbacks during that final sequence. Some to reveal stuff that happened in the past, like the fact that the son murdered that woman, and we see the cop, like, covering it up. But some of it is stuff that literally happened in that scene. Like, they showed the dad watching the son die and then deciding to kill himself. And it's like,
yeah,
we didn't need to see that. We just saw that.
Yep. Show it again. Run that shit.
That's all I got.
Yeah, same.
I guess I like two things about this movie. One, when he outruns a subway train on foot.
Yeah.
But I like that in a not actual good way, where I'm just like, this is stupid. But
right.
And I thought it was pretty when they ran into the, like, water mist to escape the cops. And it's in that train station. And he runs into the woman. Who's just there for some reason, I guess. And she's like, oh, it's this guy.
I remember you. And I couldn't remember, like, later when she tells the cops, I was like, were they out that late? Or is she lying? Like, I couldn't tell. Because, like, it wasn't very clear, like, when he came back or whatever.
Yeah.
And then... it feels like he has to really talk her into being his alibi, and I'm like, why does he have to talk her into it if it's just the truth?
It's true. And the way that, like, the line is delivered and the scene is set up, it seems like she's somehow hedging, like, that she's telling, like, a partial truth and a partial lie. She's, like, right. Instead of being like, I was with him all night, she goes, I was with him till 1 a.m., and I'm like, what?
Yeah, which made me think that that was, like, the truth or whatever, because it had already been established that the woman was, like, killed around midnight or whatever, which would be enough time. But also, I didn't think that she knew that. And also, like, everything about it, I was just like, wait, what is happening?
None of the writing of this makes any sense. No. They're sending him to America for some reason. Something about some case or whatever.
Right.
And then why did they try to make him the fall guy for this? Was he about to... What?
Oh, it happened in his apartment. But...
Yeah, but he's like maybe their best lawyer. Employee after.
Yeah.
You know, like... Or, I mean, he is their best employee. So, like, maybe the second most important person to the gang boss besides his own son.
Right.
Like, choose anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, just make the woman disappear. They're pretty good at that with, like, hundreds of homeless people, I guess, so.
Good lord. I mean, drug companies are bad, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if they're doing comically bad stuff like this, but more general, banal evil. Yep. Getting people addicted to opioids to make a buck.
And fighting generic patents so that people can't afford medication.
Following that Disney protocol.
Yeah, investing a lot in copyright law.
Mm-hmm. After building off a bunch of
other
stuff that was not under copyright, right. And then copywriting the small changes that you made to it.
Very smart. Very cool. Way to go, business.
Mm-hmm. Got anything else to say about this movie?
No, I think we're manhunted out.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If so, please subscribe using your podcast listening application. Give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. Check out all of our content on loosecannons.net and become a patron on patreon.com/loosecannons. Thanks. Thank you for listening.
Indeed.
I can't tell you what minisode is coming up next because we never know.
Yep. They're very on the fly.
Spontaneous. Mm-hmm. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.